We turn in our scripture reading to the 10th chapter of the book of Isaiah. We will read today Isaiah 10, 1 to 19. You'll find it on page 730 in your pew Bibles. I would say that one of the weaknesses of evangelical Christians today is our reluctance to discuss the judgment of God against sin. I was on a plane last week, and I was sharing the gospel to the woman next to me, and when I got to being saved from the wrath of God, the conversation bottled down. She didn't like that and was offended that I would teach and tell her that God was going to judge sin. And she said, "I don't like that kind of idea." Well, I had to say to her, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether I or her like, if any of us likes the fact of God's judgment. What matters is whether it's going to happen or not, and that it is in the Bible that we find out that it is, in fact, going to happen. One of the ways we cripple our witness is by not talking about God's judgment. The good news makes no sense without the bad news. We have to know what we're being saved from in order to be saved to. Well, dare I say the prophet Isaiah had no such weakness. And in Isaiah 10, we have yet another exposition of God's judgment upon his sinful people. Now, he begins by reminding them of why it is right that he would judge them. He focuses here on the injustice towards the exploitation of widows and orphans. Such a wicked thing that is. Now, we're living in a society where there are abundant reasons to explain the rightness of God's judgment. Christians have still been reeling, I think, over the sights coming out of New York State, where the state legislature and the governor put into effect a bill allowing children to be slain all the way through a pregnancy, despite all that science would tell us about the viability of the child, its full human identity. Nonetheless, in fact, what was particularly alarming was the celebrations, the applause, the lighting up of the World Trade Center as if a wonderful thing has happened. New York State actually removed from their legal code the crime of manslaughter. If you strike a woman who's pregnant and the baby dies, that is no longer considered murder. Well, it is absolutely worthy of God's judgment. And we should, if Isaiah has anything to say about it, we should be very frightened of how God will respond. He will say here, "Did you think that nothing was going to happen?" Well, those are words for us today. Now, in Isaiah's case, he's going to use the nation of Assyria and its terrible armies to come down. Now, he's writing at a time where the Assyrians have already destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel and its capital of Samaria. That's going to show up here. And the 10 northern tribes have already been carted off into exile. But now that Jerusalem is continuing with that sin, Assyria will be visited on them. And you might say, well, how fair is that? The Assyrians are less godly than the Israelites are. Well, God's going to judge them as well. It's not that God has some kind of petulant anger problem, but it is the glory of his holiness. This is what we need to reckon with. This is what they needed to reckon with. He is a holy God. How great is our need of the Savior about whom Isaiah will write in the chapter that follows. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning with Isaiah 10, verse 1. "Woe to those who decree iniquitous decrees, and the writers who keep writing oppression, to turn aside the needy from justice and to rob the poor of my people of their right, that widows may be their spoil, that they may make the fatherless their prey. What will you do on the day of judgment in the ruin that will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help, and where will you leave your wealth? Nothing remains but to crouch among the prisoners or fall among the slain. For all this, his anger has not turned away, and his hand is stretched out still. Ah, Assyria, the rod of my anger, the staff in their hands is my fury. Against a godless nation I send him, and against the people of my wrath I command him, to take spoil and seize plunder, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. But he does not so intend, and his heart does not so think, but it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. For he says, 'Are not my commanders all kings? Is not Calno like Carchemish? Is not Hamath like Arpad? Is not Samaria like Damascus? As my hand is reached to the kingdoms of the idols, whose carved images were greater than those of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not do to Jerusalem and her idols as I have done to Samaria and her images? When the Lord has finished all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, he will punish the speech of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the boastful look in his eyes. For he says, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I have understanding, I remove the boundaries of people and plunder their treasures. Like a bull I bring down those who sit on thrones. My hand has found like a nest the wealth of the peoples, and as one gathers eggs that have been forsaken, so I have gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved a wing or opened the mouth or chirped. Shall the axe boast over him who hews with it, or the saw magnify itself against him who wields it, as if a rod should wield him who lifts it, or as if a staff should lift him who is not wood? Therefore the Lord God of hosts will send wasting sickness among his stout warriors, and under his glory a burning will be kindled like the burning of fire. The light of Israel will become a fire, and his Holy One a flame, and it will burn and devour his thorns and briars in one day. The glory of his forests and of his fruitful land, the Lord will destroy both soul and body, and it will be as when a sick man wastes away. The remnant of the trees of his forest will be so few that a child can write them down. The grass withers and the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.